Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to sit. I wanted to spend some time talking about what we're responsible for. I was talking with someone not too long ago who was very happy about the fact that as Christians, we are people of the New Testament. We don't have to worry anymore about the Old Testament because we are living under grace, not under the law. Unfortunately, that person wasn't 100% correct. We do have grace and we are living under grace, but we are also still responsible for the law. We are responsible for the Old Testament. There are rules there that we are still responsible to follow. I remember talking with somebody once years and years ago who was convinced that since she was a Christian, she couldn't possibly sin any longer. Nothing she could do, no matter how horrible it might be, was a sin because of the fact that she was a Christian. Well, that's not true. I know even the Apostle Paul, who, let's face facts, Paul was a Christian, wasn't he? But he still referred to himself as the chief of all sinners because he knew that he wasn't perfect, and none of us is. I mean, that's why it's good that we do have grace. We do have grace to fall back on because, you know, those Ten Commandments that we all learned in Sunday school as children, we're not doing that good at following those, are we? I mean, here we are. It's the fifth day of a new year. Has anyone here managed to keep the Ten Commandments these 5 days? How about today? It's 2:30 in the afternoon. Has anyone screwed up today? Even the most righteous man sins. Even the most righteous man falls short. We all fall short. None of us is perfect. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, Jesus says this, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So not one letter, not one word of the Old Testament is made invalid by the fact that Jesus came, despite what people may say. We're still responsible for living our lives in that way. But we do fall short. I mean, if you remember back to the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, they had one rule to follow: don't eat that. And they couldn't get that right. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long it was between the time God said, don't eat the fruit, and the time they ate the fruit. But I'm guessing it was the same day. I'm guessing that. I don't have any support for that other than, you know, understanding my own sin nature. And it really wouldn't have mattered what it was. I mean, if God had said to Adam and Eve, look up in the sky, do you see that? That's the moon. Don't touch it. They would have started a space program that day. I'm certain they would have. We screw up. It's the way things are. And God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, to point out to us that we screw up, to point out to us the fact that we're not perfect. And no matter how hard we try, we're going to screw up. And that's why Jesus came to give us the grace, to give us the forgiveness that we needed because of the fact that we screw up, because of the fact that we fall short. It said in this passage that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of God. So the question is, how do we become righteous? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 5 doesn't have that many verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, what we have is sin in abundance. And when Jesus went to the cross to die for us, he took that sin that we have and he took it on himself. He had none, but he took the sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness. That does not seem like a very fair trade on his part, but we certainly benefited from that. It's the only way that we can become righteous and become genuinely righteous, not the fake kind of righteousness that the Pharisees had. You see, the Pharisees and the keepers of the law thought they were righteous because they were following rules. They were following what we refer to as the letter of the law. There's really kind of a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. You see, the law tells us something, tells us to do something, and as it's the law, we're expected to do it. But sometimes there's a matter of what the law means and what the law says, or what the law says and what the law means. For example, and I love this example, in the Ten Commandments, we are told to keep the Sabbath holy. We're told to spend that day in rest. Well, the Pharisees and the keepers of the law, you know, they're lawyers. I hope nobody hears a lawyer because I'm going to say something about lawyers. There are books written centuries and centuries ago about understanding the law, understanding the commandments, that they expanded on them, these lawyers, just to make sure everybody understood. And there was this rule. You see, back in those days, people lived in houses that had dirt floors. And when you were keeping the Sabbath holy and not working, resting on the Sabbath, which means not working. Now, if you're sitting in a chair on the Sabbath in your house on the dirt floor and you stand up, your chair might move. Now, if your chair moved at least a quarter of an inch, that might be this much. If your chair moved that much, and when I get up, I tend to move the chair. When I sit, I tend to move the chair. Well, if your chair moved a quarter of an inch on the dirt floor, you have plowed a field. It's funny, isn't it? It's okay to laugh. This is funny stuff. You have plowed a field and are therefore in violation of the Sabbath law. How about that? Now, I know there was a time when we would get home from church early Sunday afternoon and sit and do nothing for the rest of the day. Except, of course, Mom, who was fixing food all day and cooking. And my goodness, that would have been a violation of the Sabbath law, wouldn't it? But there are things that need to be done. Are we to yell at and condemn people who work in hospitals for working on the Sabbath? Well, certainly, if you've ever had to go to the emergency room on a Sunday, you wouldn't condemn them. There's a difference between what we say the law says and sometimes what it means. We all fall short. And I'm not talking about that, you know, plowing the quarter inch field falling short. I'm talking about the fact that we make mistakes. We make mistakes in our heart. We make mistakes in our minds. We make mistakes in our actions. We say things wrong. We do things wrong. And it's because we're human. It's because we are rebellious against God. No matter how hard we want to follow him, we fall short. But we have grace and we have forgiveness. But that doesn't mean we need to take advantage of that. We need to seek forgiveness from God, but it's important to us that when we seek forgiveness, we are repentant. Now, the word repent means literally turn around and go the other way. Although sometimes I think when we're repenting, we're instead of turning around 180 degrees, we turn around 360 degrees and keep going the same way we were going in the first place. You know, as I'm seeking forgiveness from you right now, O Lord, I might be planning my next event. I might be planning to do it again. We need to be sorry for the mistakes we've made. And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we are. And we'll still make that mistake, even though we're sorry for it before. We'll be sorry for it again because we're not perfect. As children, we're taught to apologize. Even when we're not sorry, we apologize. We've all been there. You know, we do something wrong and Mom and Dad sends us to apologize for it, even if we're not sorry. And sometimes we can be convincing, but we're not going to fool God because he sees our hearts. But at the same time, he sent his son to forgive us. And even though he sees our hearts, he sees us the way he sees his son. He has given us his righteousness, so we are righteous. We have that righteousness. A verse is coming to mind right now. I'm probably not going to be able to find it quickly. Paul says, shall we continue? Yes. Do you know where it is? Robin's going to look. because I want to be able to say, here's where it is, and I want to make sure I can read it. The basic gist of it right now is, shall we continue sinning that grace may abound? You know, there was a thought going on in the early church that, well, God is forgiving and God likes to forgive us. So the more we sin, the more we'll be forgiven and the happier God will be. I mean, that's one of those heresies that even has a name, and I can't specifically remember the name of it. But people believed that, and there were preachers at the time proclaiming that. There were preachers at the time saying that if we sin more, we'll get more forgiveness, and God will be happier with us because we're getting more forgiveness. But that's not the case. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You see, we're responsible for doing what Jesus asks us to do in his word, to obey his command. Because as his followers, as we claim to be, as we take on the name Christian, we claim to be his followers, we claim to love him, we claim to want to do what he wants us to do. So we need to know what it is he wants us to do, and we need to do it. We need to do our best at it. That's what we're responsible for as his followers, as people who say that we love him. I think the direction I'm going to be going for a few weeks now is we're going to be taking a look, and this might be uncomfortable for some, we're going to be taking a look at how difficult it is to be a Christian. We're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount. A couple years ago, we did a close look at the Beatitudes, and if anybody is interested, I think I have recordings of those. I'm not going to go through the Beatitudes again, but we're going to be going through the Sermon on the Mount and taking a look at what Jesus expects of us and how difficult it is. You know, I know there are people who said that once you become a Christian, everything gets so much easier. Well, it doesn't. We have grace and we are forgiven for what we do. Jesus died on the cross for any sin we could possibly commit, any and every sin that has ever been and ever will be committed. He died on the cross for that, to take that away from us. But that doesn't mean we need to continue to live that way. He said, if we love him, we will follow his commands. And what we're going to be taking a look at coming up is what exactly he expects from us. Amen.
Can live in your sanctuary, oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike license. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. Did you find that verse, Robin? You didn't? Okay. It's in one of Paul's letters somewhere. Yeah, we'll find it eventually. But the fact is, we don't need to live that way. We don't need to live in sin. We have forgiveness, and we need to continue to struggle against sin. And it's not easy, because let's face it, as human beings, we enjoy sin. Sin is usually pleasant for us. If it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. But we need to live our lives. We need to attempt to live our lives in such a way as is pleasing to God. It's not easy, but it is necessary that we try. This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.